turning to the book of Hebrews, and we're turning to the chapter 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went also into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, and which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. We'll end our reading at the verse 12, and you know that God will bless this reading to our hearts tonight. Let's bow in a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the hymns we've been singing. We thank thee for the messages and song to our heart and the word of God that has been read. And Heavenly Father, as we come to the preaching of thy word, we ask thee that you will write it upon each one of our hearts. Cleanse my heart afresh of the precious blood. Fill me afresh, O God, with thy Holy Spirit, and enable me to preach thy word. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. The verse 24 says of the chapter 9, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And what we want to look at tonight is the tabernacle, a figure or a shadow of salvation. The children of Israel were chosen and called to be a special people. In Genesis 12:1, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. They were God's people. God had preserved this nation in Egypt. God had provided for their escape from bondage. God had parted the Red Sea and brought them through on dry land and destroyed the Egyptians that were coming behind them forever. In the wilderness, God had provided manna in the morning and flesh in the evening so that they could continue their journey towards the promised land. Then God gave them the Ten Commandments, God's law, the perfect law that was good for the people. And in Exodus 25, we read that God desired to dwell among his people. And God planned how he could and would dwell in the midst of his people. And in Exodus 25, it tells us, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. You see, everything was to be the plan of God as it was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the salvation that was to come. There was the outer court, and there was the gate. This outer court was about 175 feet by 87 and a half feet. It was enclosed by walls of fine twined linen. There was the tabernacle proper, 52 feet long, 17 and a half wide, and 17 and a half high. And this was divided into two parts. The holy place, the larger of the two, had the golden altar, the lampstand, the candlestick, and the table and the showbread. And then there was the Holy of Holies, the smaller lamp, it was smaller than the holy place, and had the ark and the mercy seat and Aaron's rod that had budded and the table of covenant. A veil separated them. All to do with the tabernacle teaches us important truths regarding God's salvation. But tonight we're going to just look at three of them. Now this tabernacle was placed in the center of the camp. And there was three of the tribes on the north, three on the south, three on the east, and three on the west. And in the center, God placed this tabernacle so that he could dwell amongst his people. And the first that we want to look at tonight is the gate, the only entrance. You see, God started at the Holy of Holies, and he ended at the gate. But man must start at the gate. And when an Israelite wanted to approach God for cleansing of his sins, his entrance was barred by the outer walls, which had only one entrance. And you will remember the entrance to the Garden of Eden was barred by a gate because of man's sin. And we have here in Exodus 27 and the verse 16, "And for the gate of the court shall be an hanging of 20 cubits, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, and fine twine linen, wrought with needlework. And their pillars shall be four, and their sockets four." And you know, as the Israelite looked at that gate, he saw the blue. And the blue speaks of heaven. And it reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was the divine Son of God that came down from heaven into this sin-cursed world. The purple, the kingly color, speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings, the divine sovereign. The scarlet speaks, of course, of the Savior's blood shed for sinners. He was a divine Savior. The white speaks of purity. It speaks of the holiness and the sinlessness of the Savior of the world, who was the divine servant. And in John 10 and verse 9, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to earth, he said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." And you know, there is only one door into heaven. Not many ways into heaven. Not many doors into heaven. There is one door and one way. And the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, says, "I am the door, by me." And if you're in the meeting tonight and you're unsaved, you need to be reconciled to God. You need to approach God for cleansing of your sin. There is only one door, only one way, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are ever going to get into God's heaven, you'll have to go through that door. And you know, that is what's wrong today in this world of ours. Men, women, young people do not believe that there is only one way. And of course, there are many, many people today, and they believe that they can go their own way. And what they do, how they want to live their life, and at the end of the day they expect God to take them into heaven. Well, I have news for you. This book, God's Word, said you're not going to get in. It's as simple as that. because your sin is separating you from God. And if you die unsaved, unconverted, you will be in the lake of fire. And you know, that is a tragedy. That anyone would ever leave a gospel meeting, would ever leave this land of ours where there has been gospel tracts through the doors that you've had over the years and read them, maybe had a mother or father that prayed for you, maybe had a Sunday school teacher that taught you the truth, maybe had a minister that taught you that you needed to be saved, and to end up at a lost eternity. That way is the Lord Jesus Christ. That door is the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the colors speak also of the four gospels that contain the good news of salvation. And you should read the four gospels, because in those gospels is God's way of salvation. The main theme of Matthew's gospel speaks of the purple. It teaches us of Jesus as King. And Matthew 21:5, tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, thy King cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. The scarlet, of course, Mark's gospel, because Mark's gospel teaches us of Jesus as the servant. He became servant. He went to the cross and he shed his precious blood. And Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to do. White, of course, Luke's gospel, the purity of the sinless Son of God, the man Christ Jesus. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And for all his lifetime upon this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ never sinned once. He was the only sinless one, the one who kept God's law perfectly, something you and I could never do. No matter how hard we try, we can never keep God's law perfectly, and we sin day and daily in thought, word, and deed. But thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. The blue, of course, speaks to us, or John's gospel, of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the God-man. And John 1 and 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. I want to ask you, have you entered in through the gate? In through the door? If not, I urge you tonight to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You say, how do I come? You come just as you are. You see, sometimes people think, well, I would need to read the Bible more. I would need to understand theology more. I would need to clean up my life more. My dear friend, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you come as you are, a sinner on the road to hell. And when you come and cry unto him, Lord, have mercy upon me, cleanse me in your precious blood, immediately your sins are forgiven. You're washed in the precious blood. You enter in through that door and you become a child of God. And you receive eternal life. And you have a home being prepared for you in heaven, in the land that is fairer than day. What a tremendous salvation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The gate. And when they came to that gate, they saw a picture of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ that was to come. But then as the Israelite entered the outer court, his eyes fell on the brazen altar, the altar of sacrifice. He had brought an animal or a bird with him, and the animal or the bird was killed and the blood shed and put on the altar by the priest for a burnt sacrifice to the Lord for the sins of the people. The Israelite was cleansed not by the blood of the sacrifice, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, to whom it pointed as a type. In Hebrews 10 and the verse 4, the next chapter, it tells us, therefore it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. And as he saw the sacrifice upon the altar, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah that was promised to come. And he saw him in the sacrifice that was made. In Hebrews 9:26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto him that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You see, the Israelite looked forward in the type to the coming of the Messiah and the once for all sacrifice. But you know, you and I sitting in this meeting tonight, we look back to the cross and we see more clearly the great sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read the New Testament and the Gospels particularly, we get a picture of what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. And we can look back and we can read and know what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to purchase our salvation. As the Israelite gazed upon the sacrifice of the brazen altar, he realized that it was there for his sin. The Messiah was coming. And you know, as you tonight view the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you see the precious blood flow from his head, from his hands, and from his feet, and from his side, do you realize that it was for your cleansing? Oh, that God would open your hearts as he opened Lydia's heart, that you might see your need of salvation. You see, tonight, the first step, as we have said in nights past, and we have to repeat ourselves, because there is only one gospel. Man is born a sinner. And the first step is for you to realize that you're a sinner, that you're separated from God by your sin, and you need a Savior. And when the Holy Spirit opens your heart and you're convicted of your sin, then you begin to realize, what must I do to get rid of my sin? And the blessed Spirit of the living God takes your mind, and you can see Christ dying upon the cross of Calvary for your sins in your place, bearing the punishment that you deserve for your sin. Thank God for the sacrifice of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time the Israelite approached God, he had to bring a sacrifice. It was a continual offering up of blood animals. Even the poor could approach God. You see, if they weren't able to produce an animal, a big animal, they could bring a sheep, or they could bring a pigeon, or they could bring just a small bird. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the hare, and of the flock. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering be to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring of his offering of turtle doves and of young pigeons, which were freely available of the land. And so all the children of Israel, they had no excuse, because they could go out and they could take a turtle dove or a young pigeon and bring it into the priest to be sacrificed. And you know, you and I tonight have no excuse, because the Lord Jesus Christ died for us upon the cross of Calvary. And he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So you have no excuse, because the invitation doesn't come from an evangelist tonight. It doesn't come from a minister. It doesn't come from a church. It comes direct from the throne room above, from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes to your heart tonight, and he simply says, "Come unto me." I want to ask you, if you're not saved, will you come tonight? Thank God the sacrifice of Jesus was once for all. In Hebrews 10:12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Full and free salvation. The veil of the temple was rent in twain, opening up the fellowship between God and his redeemed forever. And you know, that puts every Roman priest on the dole, out of a job forever. Every other priest and every other false religion is immediately put on the dole, because there is only one high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And every believer is a priest. If you're saved tonight in this meeting, you're a priest. But there's only one high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. I want to ask you, have you had the blood applied? Have you been cleansed through the blood of the Lamb that was shed upon the cross of Calvary? Will you not come tonight and come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Repent of your sins and call upon him, and he'll save you and cleanse you and give you eternal life. You say, "How do I repent?" You'd be sorry for your sin and willing to turn from your sin. You see, there are so many people that I've met over the years, and they're willing, yes, they're sorry for what they've done, but they're not willing to turn from it. They're not willing to give up their sin. And even some Christians, you know, are not willing to give up their sin. I remember meeting a man, I think he was an elder in one of our churches, and he said to me, "Ronnie," he says, "I took an awful pain, and they couldn't find out what was wrong with me." And he says, "I landed up in hospital in pure agony." And he said, "They couldn't find what was wrong." And he said, "I lay on that hospital bed, and as I looked up," he says, "I knew God spoke to me." And he says, "There was a sin in my life that I was committing that I wasn't prepared to give up." And he says, "God put me on my back in that hospital ward that I could look up." He said, "I fought a battle on that hospital bed." And then he says, "I cried unto God to forgive me and to help me to give up that sin." He didn't tell me what it was. And he said, "When I cried unto God," he said, "the pain disappeared and it has never come back again. And they never found out what was wrong." You see, my dear friend, we can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can be saved by God's grace, and we need to live a life for him. And if we do not live that life and we backslide, then the Lord can allow things to come into our life to bring us back to himself. Just like a child, when I was young and done things wrong, my father used to, I was going to say give me a good hiding, but that in this day and age you would end up in jail over. But he taught me the difference between right and wrong. He taught me respect for my father and mother. He taught me respect for the school teacher and for the police and for those in authority and for elder people. And you know, that was good. But there's times I had to be punished because I wouldn't do what he told me. I maybe told you this before, maybe not, but I can remember one day he came back from his work and he says, "Ronnie, you did such and such a thing." And I said, "No, I didn't." And he gave me a good trimming. And then he sat me down and he said, "You know, it wasn't for what you did." You see, one of the men that worked with him had seen me doing it, whatever it was. And he said, "You know, what I did to you was because you told me a lie. And I want you never to lie again." And you know, at my age now, if I was tempted to lie, that comes back to my mind. And you know, it still sticks there. Because I was educated by him that lying was wrong. And it still comes in my mind. And you know, you do be tempted. Well, maybe you're not tempted to do anything wrong. But I tell you, if you're a normal person, the devil tempts you every day. And he tempts you to do things that are not right. But you know, whenever we do that, we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and he forgives us. There's the gate that we enter through. There's the brazen altar. Speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. But then there's the laver. Sanctification through the word. The Israelite could not enter the holy place, only the priest on his behalf. And only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies once a year. But before the priests could approach the tabernacle, they must wash their hands and their feet in the laver. In Exodus 30:18, "Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. And thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereafter." And you know, the laver speaks to us of the water of the Word of God for our daily cleansing. We are believers, priests, as we said earlier, and we have access into the Holy of Holies through our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must daily come to the Word of God, and it will teach us how we should live to please God as a Christian, and how we need to be continually washed in the blood as we gather sin day by day. We need a daily cleansing. And 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." While our relationship with Christ never changes, our daily walk is always changing. Our fellowship is broken by sin, hence the need for confession and forgiveness. You can remember the Lord Jesus Christ washing the disciples' feet. Jesus said unto him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, ye are not all clean." And you know, we need to continually come day by day to the Lord for a fresh cleansing, to the flavor, to the word of the living God. That's why it's important for God's children to read the Bible. Because God speaks to us through his word. And he teaches us. And he leads us. And he guides us. And he helps us through his precious word. If we fail to daily come to the word of God, then we will backslide. and our fellowship with God will be affected. And I want to ask you tonight, have you been through the gate? Are you living close to the Lord, who died for you upon the cross of Calvary? If not, why not? If you're a child of God, do you come day by day seeking His forgiveness? Do you seek Him in prayer? Do you say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul? Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. You know, there are so many of God's children today and they're living miserable existence. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. And to think that when our sins are forgiven, we are in God's family and we have a home being prepared for us in heaven. Should that not thrill our souls? Should that not make us praise the Lord every moment of every day? I think it should. And we need to rejoice in God's so great salvation. But you know, first of all, you need to go through the gate. And the only gate is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. I am the door, by me. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I trust that every one in our service tonight has already entered in through the door into God's salvation. One door and only one, yet the sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? If you're still on the outside tonight, then remember, Jesus is calling you to come unto Him. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't go away from the meeting tonight without Christ. If Mr. McCammon or myself can be of any help to you, we would love to take God's word and show you from the scriptures how that you can be saved and can be sure you're saved. You see, our salvation does not depend on feelings, and we do have feelings, but it depends upon the word of the living God. And if God has spoken to you, we have a little booklet we have every night, a new beginning, God's answer to the problems of guilt and despair. Ask us for one at the door if God has spoken to you, or if you want to speak to us, we're willing to take God's word. But oh, tonight I urge you, I plead with you tonight, if you're not saved, come and put your trust in Christ before it's too late. No one knows the day of their departure. No one knows when God's appointed time will come for us. And you know, no matter when it comes, it's always the wrong time as far as we're concerned. We would love it to pass by, but it always comes in God's time. But thank God if we're ready, then we can know that we will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And what a joy that will bring.